To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life, an atonement for sin, then opened the life gate that all may go in. Aren't you grateful? He opened the life gate that I may go in. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He has done.
We're going to sing another verse of that, but I thought this morning about a time when I was at home, a young teenager, and my stepfather still has a 67 Firebird. Flames down the side of it. And one of the neighbors came over and spoke with my mother and said, every time your husband starts his car, my husband and I get in an argument. Because he wants one, and I don't want him to have one. She said, is there any way you could ask him to respectfully put it in neutral? Let it roll down out of the driveway. Very gently, turn over the ignition until you get out of sound range, and then he can drive however he wants to. Friend, I don't know about you, but I feel like there's pressure in our generation to keep our praise polite and peaceful. Would you mind standing with me to your feet? You don't have to. I'm not holding anybody hostage this morning. But somebody's had the governor on their praise. And if you feel like just taking it off for a minute, whether you know the song or not, amen. If you feel like redlining the engine, redlining the RPMs for Jesus, amen. Well, you can on this second verse. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus the pardon receives. Let's go. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He has done. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, God's Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He has done. Oh, give the Lord a shout of praise if He's done great things for you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless Him. Come on, church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise God forever. Praise God forever. Remain standing to your feet for the reading of God's Word. I'm so privileged and delighted to be here. I don't know if this is year 5 maybe of me being here. I'm starting to feel like I'm coming home too when I get invited back to Williston. I love it. Amen. Your blessing last summer, I didn't bring you a trophy, Pastor, but it was the largest one-day offering I've ever received in my ministry. Last year when I came here, I felt a little bit like Elijah when he, the Bible said he went in the strength of that meal for 40 days. Amen. So I went in the strength of that offering all year. It's run out and I've come back for another meal. Praise God. I'm just kidding. I've come back to preach the word. Amen. As long as you don't charge me for it, I'm glad to be here. Psalm 138 in verse 2. Psalm 138 in verse 2. We've got church tonight. If you don't know where, ask your neighbor sitting beside you. Where's it going to be at? And they'll tell you, it's right here. So you already know the way. You've already got the directions. If you don't know what time, ask somebody around you. If they know they go to church here, they might know. It's 6 o'clock tonight. Amen. If Donald Trump was going to be here, this house would be packed. But I don't think he's going to be here. But I have a word for this church. The word I'm preaching this morning is good for the whole body of Christ. But the word I'm preaching tonight is for Williston Church of God. I've never preached it anywhere else. And I want to know, are the young people going to be here? Eddie, you going to be here tonight? You'll try. I'm going to need better commitment. Alex, you going to be here tonight? Amen, Sister Alex. Darwin, you going to be here tonight? Praise the Lord. Addie, you going to be here tonight? I'm putting y'all under the spot. Chris, you going to be here tonight? Amen. I need some people to testify. Mateo, you're going to be here tonight? All right. If the teenagers are going to be here, and it ain't even Donald Trump, it's just Sunday night church, how many adults will wave at me and say, I'll go ahead and commit right now? Amen. We're voting for revival tonight. Vote by showing up. You can't vote remote tonight. You got to get in the house. Praise God. Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Wow. Someone who does not keep their word, who is dishonest, their name does not mean anything. Mason, you going to be here tonight? Gracie, you going to be here tonight? Praise God. I'm going to hold you to it because you said it. And if you don't keep your word, your name's worth mud. Amen. God said, I keep my word. It's so important to me. I magnify it above my name. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. Jeremiah 1 and 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. The ESV of that says, for I am watching over my word to perform it. God's eye is upon his word. I don't know where else his eye is this morning, but when we open the pages of this book, he says, I'm there to tell my word, go to work in somebody's life. Amen. You believe the word this morning? Amen. When we take his word, he watches over it to perform it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Who's them? He's talking about the Israelites that did not enter the promised land because of unbelief. But the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Come on, Grandma, you know you can get all the ingredients for pound cake out on the table. But if nobody mixes it, no pound cake comes out of the oven. We've got every ingredient we need today for salvation, deliverance, divine healing, restored homes, restored hearts, restored minds. Amen. But if we don't mix faith with the word, it don't work. Amen. Lord, we love you. We thank you that your word is a testament of love to us. We sense your heartbeat when we read it. We feel, God, the inspiration of the breath of heaven. We come to your word now. We come to it as Isaiah said. You said to this man, will the Lord look to him that trembles at my word. We've not come for a casual entertainment. Your word is not performance material, oh God. It is the power that shaped the planets, the earth, the constellations, God. And it has shaped us, Lord. We ask that you breathe on us now. And bring about, God, what no man can do, no religion, no ceremony. Do what only you can do for your own honor, praise, and glory. We pray in Jesus' name, and God's people said amen. Amen. You can be seated. When I was a boy, we lived in Nobleton, Florida. That's real Florida, kind of like Williston. 283 people is the population of Nobleton. I lived on a piece of acreage, 64 acres. Grandma on this corner, Uncle Scott and Aunt Gina next door, my great uncle and aunt on that corner, my great grandma across the pasture. We had to go all the way around because I was scared of the cows as a kid. I thought they ate children. And that's where I grew up, and we was holiness, so we didn't have no television, praise God. And when we go visit granddaddy and granny, they didn't have television. And so it was kind of boring to go to our grandparents' house until every once in a while, I don't know how many times a year, they would get a JCPenney catalog. And my sister and I, 2 years older than me, we played a game. She was very competitive, very aggressive at everything she did. So even at 5 and 7 years old, we would go and sit on Granny and Granddaddy's couch. We'd put the JCPenney catalog. I don't know, maybe it's smaller than it was in my memory, but in my memory, it was huge. We didn't go to the mall. We didn't have money for the mall. That was the closest thing we got to seeing those life-size stuffed animals. You know, we didn't go to those carnivals. We didn't go to carnivals. So I didn't know about big stuffed animals until I saw it in that catalog. And so my sister and I, while granddaddy and granny are talking to mom and daddy or whatever, we would sit on the couch and we'd put the catalog between me and her. Half of it laid on her lap, half of it laid on my lap. And we would play this game where we would slap the page if that was what we wanted, and we'd say, claim it. And then the other person couldn't have it. And, you know, the toy section is what we were really interested in, but it's such a small section, you had to kind of get warmed up in the bedding and housewares. Because there was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sheets and covers and blankets and pillows, and there was Barbie blanks and blankets and covers and pillows. And so I'm talking about as soon as that page turned, we'd claim it. I mean, and it was just done. If you claimed it, it's yours. If you claim the life-size tiger stuffed animal, it's yours. And there was something profound to that inside of me that taught me to say, if there's something good, don't just wish for it, claim it. We believe in the Word of God here at Williston Church of God, don't we? I was preaching in Chiefland one time, and they only had Sunday morning. Poor people backslid, God bless them. And I said, I'm going to be in a church on a Sunday night. Who's got church close by? And I had to get that ring wide on Google Maps before I found a church that I wanted to go to that had service Sunday night. And I saw this one. I don't think I had even met any of y'all at camp yet. I just saw that y'all had a Sunday night service, and I drove from Chiefland down here, and I got in a little bit late, and I was dressed for church. I had on a blazer or a suit coat or something, and so I slipped in, sat back there, and then I slipped back out because when you're a preacher, you don't want people to say, you know, who are you? Where are you from? Glad you're here. Do you want to say something? You just want to come in and be a Christian sometimes. You just want to come in and worship and leave. And that night, Pastor Wes preached out of Obadiah. I'm talking about, you better have a Bible church if you're going to preach out of Obadiah. Most Christians in America couldn't find the book of Obadiah if their life depended on it. And so I recognized from that moment, this is a word church. And then I was at camp in Old Town that summer, and a bunch of your young people were there, and we got connected. And as I'm talking to them, I said, where do y'all go? And they said, we go to Williston Church of God. I said, I've been there. They said, you've been to our church? They said, blue coat. I said, that's me. I was navy blue coat on a Sunday night. Amen. But I want to stand this morning in defense of the Word of God again. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know I'm preaching to word people. But we live in a day where there is an attack on this sacred book. I tell campers every week, Robert, you preach like this at camp? No, I preach harder at camp. I sweat and spit and scream more at camp than I do to you guys. Amen. They can take it. They're not scared of me. I'm afraid I might scare some of y'all. Y'all won't come back tonight. Listen, I make them stand for the reading of the Word. Why? Because I tell them almost every service, this is no ordinary book. This is the only book that every time you read it, you're in the presence of the author. Isn't that true? This is the only book that every time you read it, it reads you. Come on, campers. Y'all got quiet on me. I said, this is the only book that every time you read it. Oh, goodness, from Friday till now, y'all must not got your post-camp nap yet. This is the only book that every time you read it, there's an interaction where it's reading your heart. This is also the only book that is alive. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And if the enemy cannot get you to completely neglect it, to completely take the position of an atheist and say there's nothing to it whatsoever, then what he will do is undermine it through some self-proclaimed scholar that has too many degrees from too many seminaries until they're posting on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and saying, see, unless you sparse the Greek verb tense, unless you understand what Jeremiah had for breakfast that morning, and unless you understand the AD, the BC, the time, the who was sitting on the throne of Persia and Babylon, then you can't really get any benefit because it's not really for you. I don't know if your pastor ever preaches half mad and half anointed, but I'm feeling like it this morning. I am upset with people that have come to tell us we cannot claim the Word of God for us. Jeremiah 29:11. I remember the day I was driving down the road and two people were being interviewed. They're proclaimed Bible scholars and they said, people take Jeremiah 29:11 out of context. What's Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans or the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts for good and not for evil, to give you a hope, a future, and an expected end. And these people had the audacity to say, that's not for 2024 Americans. That was only for Israelites that were going into 70 years of Babylonian exile. Friend, let me ask you something. If that verse survived about 3,000 years to come to us, what did it survive that long for if it wasn't for us? And let me tell you something, the Bible is not about us. It's about Jesus. But it's for us. If you think it's just about you, you will try to read yourself into its pages as though you're the main character. Amen. You're not the main character. You're not the protagonist. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. Genesis is about Jesus. Exodus is about Jesus. Leviticus is about Jesus. The Passover lamb coming out of Egypt, it's a type of Jesus. Amen. The sacrificial lamb at the tabernacle, it's a type of Jesus. The high priest system was to teach us of our high priest, our intercessor in heaven, Jesus. Melchizedek pointing to Jesus. All of it foreshadowing and prophecies of Jesus. However, Paul said those things that happened aforetime, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's just get there. Point number one, the Old Testament is for me. Somebody say it's for me. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Don't throw it away, friend. Don't just say it's a bedtime story. Don't raise your children to think that David and Goliath is some kind of mythology. Oh, no, friend. Paul said it happened to them, but it happened for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples that are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Happened unto them for our example. He says the end of the world. That means the closer we get to the end, the more David and Goliath has to do with us than it had to do with David and Goliath. Amen. What am I supposed to read Jehoshaphat about? Because Jehoshaphat taught us that you put the praisers out front and you won't have to swing the sword of the flesh. You can swing the sword of worship. Amen. Don't throw it away. It's for us. Hallelujah. Amen. I've come to reclaim the word of God for our lives this morning. Put up that screen with the overarching connections, if you will. Somebody did a graphic that portrays the 63,779 cross-references of the Bible. This is no ordinary book. It's actually a book comprised of 66 books, written by more than 40 authors on 3 different continents with one continuous, non-contradicting message. 63,000 cross-references over a period of 1,500 years. And it's all about Jesus. You know, at a distance, there's multiple lights in here. I don't know where I could find myself a place where you might be able to see a silhouette of my hand on the wall, but at a distance I could see a little bit of it over there, a little bit of it over here. But because there's a distance, you can't exactly tell immediately what image is casting the shadow. So from Genesis 3:15, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. He's talking to the serpent, he's talking to Satan, and he's prophesying about Jesus. But that's a very vague silhouette. Bruising the heel, crush the head. What's he talking about? But then we continue to go forward. Over 300 prophecies of Jesus' first coming are fulfilled in his lifetime. It was prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied that he would come out of Egypt. It was prophesied that he would be a Nazarene. It was prophesied that he would be born of a virgin. All of these things, you read through Matthew and it says, thus fulfilling the prophecy. Why? Because it was all climaxing to the moment where he was no longer the silhouette silhouette in the fullness of time, Jesus in the flesh showed up on the scene and we said, we're not looking at the shadow anymore. We're looking at the real thing. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. This book is showing us from Old Testament passages how we are to believe in expectation. However, Darwin and Eddie, help me real quick. Darwin, would you stand right here like this and face that direction? Eddie, come right over here. Eduardo, hombre de Dios. All right, stand right here, face that direction. Thank you. All right, an Old Testament prophet, God is showing Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah the Christ that is to come. But what they may not know, we'll have to ask him when we get to heaven, but I don't think that they were aware of, is that Christ was going to come once and then die, resurrect, ascend, and come again. And so there are prophecies, 300 plus, that are fulfilled in his first coming, but there are more prophecies yet to be fulfilled of his second coming. Amen. The millennial reign of Christ. There are so many prophecies in Ezekiel and Daniel and Revelation where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, where Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. Glory to God. Not Republican, not Democrat, no corruption. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Even the poisonous snake will be able to be around a child and will never, never have any poison to sting them. Amen. And so he's coming again. But from behind in the past, they are weaving these prophecies one with another. And so as we read the Bible, we say, oh, God reached into this prophecy, pulled out this and said, this is to be fulfilled now, and yet there are more yet to be fulfilled. Thank you, guys. Y'all can be seated. Now, what happens is when you and I read Scripture, the enemy will say either they could have had the benefit of that in the past. They, not the JCPenney catalog, the Word of God. They could have slapped the book and said, I claim that back then. Or I can claim that one day in the future, in heaven, in the resurrection. What does Jesus say at the tomb of Lazarus when Mary and Martha are there? And he says, don't you believe in resurrection? They said, if you were here earlier, you could have healed him. I could have claimed healing yesterday before it was stage 4 cancer. I could have claimed healing last year when it was a sniffle and a cold and a small symptom. Now it's too far gone. Now he's been dead 4 days. What about resurrection? Jesus said, don't you believe in resurrection? They said, yes, one day out in the future. Listen to me, friend. If you let the enemy put you in a limbo place where you say the Word of God will not work for you today, I thought about going to a thrift store and finding an old book that from a distance you might have thought was a Bible. I just don't want to be theatrical or gimmicky, but I'm going to tell you what I thought about doing. I thought about getting up here and reading Jeremiah 29:11, and then taking an old book, picking it up and just saying, that ain't for us, and ripping the paper out. Now, it wouldn't have been the Bible. I wouldn't have done that to the Bible. You know, like some Mark Twain or something, some Gulliver's Travels or something old. And then, you know, somebody in the room would be, blasphemy! He ripped a page out of the Word of God. No, I wouldn't do that. But how many of us do it spiritually? When we neglect the Word, we live in unbelief with the Word, we don't mix faith with the Word, it takes action. Why is you always trying to get us to come to an altar? Because I got saved in an altar. I mixed faith with the Word, crawled off my granddaddy's lap at a camp meeting in Georgia at 7 years old, was the first at the altar, and God met me when I mixed faith with the Word that was preached, and that's where I got born again. I got filled with the Holy Ghost at Linden Church of God in an altar. I don't remember what he preached that night, but I knew that was the place where I connected with God. You can get everything you need from God at home in your prayer closet, but why not right as soon as the ingredients of the Word are there that you reach in by faith and say, claim it! That's for me. I receive it now. I have a friend in Ohio. Her and her husband had come to the altar scores of times because of their struggle with infertility. And the Lord gave me a word for him one night. I don't operate. I wish I operated in the word of knowledge and prophecy more often. I don't. But I had a clear word for him that night that he will cause the barren womb to break forth with song, and she who is childless shall bring forth. I gave it to him and I said, get ready, you're going to have a baby. Well, a year passed, no baby. 2 years passed, no baby. I'm starting to think I'm a prophet liar, not a prophesier. 3 years passed, no baby. But they didn't stop believing. Every time an opportunity for praying for the miraculous opened, she said it was embarrassing. They're dedicating other babies. We're invited to baby showers. People walking around church with little infants and toddlers. She said, but we believe God, and we made another trip to the altar to say, God, we still believe. Move on our behalf. Amen. Until 5 years later, I saw that post on Facebook holding up that sonogram picture. And she didn't have just a picture of one. She had a picture of two buns in the oven. They had twins. Glory to God. Now, that happened for me one other time in California. This lady said, you see those two little six-year-old girls over there? I said, yeah. She said, those are our twins. You prayed for us 6 years ago. So I'm just warning you, if you want children, if you don't want twins, don't come to me. I have not proven any other anointing. That's the only thing I know how to pray for, I guess. Amen. But to reach in by faith and say, Lord, we're not going to let anybody tell us that it's not for us. The Old Testament is for us. Number two, the gospel is for us. God so loved the whole world. See, I could name names here and y'all would think that I'm attacking people. I'm not attacking personalities. I'm attacking and coming after the lies that have confused people that say, well, maybe I'm in the elect, maybe I'm not in the elect. I guess if God's already predestined who's going to go to heaven or hell, I'll just sit at home and just go about my life because there's nothing I can do about it. Don't you see how they've been robbed of the gospel? Don't you see how somebody's ripped the pages of John 3:16 out of their Bible and said, evidently you're not in the world because you can't get the benefit of that. I preached 7 weeks of youth camp this summer. We have exit cards, 5x7s, where campers will write down their testimony at the end of the week. We get together with the staff of the camp. We read all of those cards. And one after another, I'm preaching 7 times to those guys. One after another, the card will say, I didn't think this was for me. If it's not for you, who's it for? How does the enemy... Robert, why do you scream? Because I feel like if it just reaches your ear canal, it may not get far enough. But if I can jar you down to the jolt you just to wake up and say, maybe this isn't just for those whose papaw was a Pentecostal preacher and those who were raised up listening to Sister Annetta play every Sunday. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful to have these gifts in your life. I thank God for you, sister. You're a blessing. Amen. But if you didn't grow up on that, if you grew up with narcotics and alcohol in your home, if you grew up everybody getting high on the weekend, if you grew up not knowing anything, any other religion than NASCAR and football on Sunday, listen to me, friend, the gospel's still for you. Paul wrote Timothy saying, I'm going to read it so you know I'm preaching the gospel to you. Amen. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many of them? All of them. The gospel's for you. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Y'all quiet, and I feel like running laps right now. Amen. Don't tell me that I can't have the benefit. Don't tell me I sin too much. Don't tell me I wasn't raised the right way. The blood's for me. The gospel's for me. Amen. You're not going to pull those pages out of my Bible. If you can't tell what I'm preaching this morning, the title is this: I want my Bible back. Amen. I want every page of it. If the book says I can have it, then I claim it and I believe it. Now, I know there's some people that have gone wild with claiming, and so we have drawn back from believing aggressively for anything because we don't want to be lumped in with those people that think they can march 7 times around their neighbor's Mercedes and then speak and say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. That's not what I'm talking about claiming. I'm talking about opening the book and saying, Lord, talk to me. And when it's quickened within your spirit, you say, Lord, I believe it for my life. I know there's Bible verses that say there's coming a great falling away in the last day. But that doesn't mean you got to put it over the doorpost of your house and say, this is what we believe. No, how about instead you put up, amen, Joshua, that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How about instead you put up Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. How about instead you put up where Paul told the Philippian jailer, you shall be saved and your household. Amen. Don't let the enemy rob you of the truth of the Word of God. Number one, the Old Testament's for me. Number two, the Gospel's for me. Before I move on, let me tell every person in this room, it matters not to me or to God if you've been married and divorced 15 times. I'm not saying sin doesn't matter. I'm saying His blood is strong enough to save even you. If you're here and you've experienced, you know, an atrocity we would feel embarrassed to talk about. An abortion, a life of addiction, the blood is still for you. This gospel is for you. You've not gone too far. And He's not just giving you fire insurance to not go to hell. He will wash you and make you a man of God or a woman of God. The gospel's for me. Amen. Number three, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for me. Acts chapter 2, Peter is explaining on the day of Pentecost, as 120 that were there, 120 received flames of fire, 120 heard the rushing wind, 120 spoke in tongues. But then as the crowd gathered, they said, what meaneth this? Are these men drunk with new wine? And Peter said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. He didn't say they weren't drunk at all. He just said they're not drunk the way you think they're drunk. I'm thankful for the camp we had this week. But friend, I want y'all to, one reason I had winter fire is because I want y'all to know the kind of camps I grew up in. I mean, the camps we had didn't shut down at 10:30. Camps we had, we took kids back to their dorm room talking in tongues. We took people back to their room, amen, laughing under the waves of glory of the Spirit. Oh, Robert, that's extreme. You know what's extreme? That child suicide is becoming normalized in our generation. That transgender assignment surgeries is becoming normal and legalized across the West Coast. Amen. You don't want them to have an extreme experience in God, and yet you want to inoculate them against polio and measles. I say we inoculate them against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and tell them there's a high in the power of the Most High that no dealer, I hear y'all clapping like I had a good golf swing, but I wish somebody that's known the power of God would open their mouth and shout amen to let this generation know there's more. Hallelujah. They were drunk, but not with new wine. They come out of that upper room, and Peter stands and says, what is this? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Put it up for me. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. In the last days, saith God, it shall come to pass that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall not just go to an altar, kneel down, repeat a prayer, sign a card, and get a new Bible. No, they shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, we have people in our time that tell us, leave that up for me, please, that tell us the only way you can understand a verse is if you understand it in context. And if you take it out of context, then you are misinterpreting Scripture. If those people were standing on the day of Pentecost, they would have scolded Peter and said, the context isn't talking about this. What else does it say? And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. What's that talking about? Remember Jesus' first coming, His second coming. There's two outpourings of the Holy Ghost. The former rain, the latter rain. There's something yet to come. It's the already and the not yet of Scripture. Are we saved? Yes. Are we yet to be saved eternally? Yes. So we have an already, but we're about to taste the not yet that we're going to go into. Have we been glorified? Yes. Shall we be glorified even greater? Yes. Is there an outpouring of the Spirit now? Yes. Is there more to come? Yes. Amen. But if you use Scripture interpretation methods that they are pouring out through social media, people constantly asking me, what do you think about this preacher online? What do you think about this celebrity preacher? What do you think about this Bible teacher? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? I tell them, I don't. I don't have brain power to scour the internet and have an opinion about every voice in the world. You know what I think about? My pastor. I think about what he's preaching to me. He's the shepherd of my soul. He'll give an account on judgment day for what he's feeding his sheep. Hey, man, how about instead of posting everybody else, you pull out the phone every once in a while, take a clip of Pastor Wes and say, we got the fire this morning. He fed my soul. Think about what's coming from this pulpit. You'll get confused. You'll have 15 different opinions. Well, I guess there's no conclusive outcome on what that verse means, so I won't even take it for myself. Don't you see how the watering down, the dissimulation of the things of God will cause you to not have confidence in the book? But Peter said, in context, he's talking about the second coming. But I'm going to reach by faith, lay hold of the promise and say, claim it, that's for us. And then he goes on in the latter part of the chapter, verse 38, I believe it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Why are you sweating and screaming so loud about these verses? Because there's a generation that wants to tell us our babies and our grandbabies can't talk in tongues, can't prophesy, can't lay hands on the sick, can't see revival in their generation. They won't even tell them there's a Holy Ghost. They'll say there's a Father, a Son, and a Holy Bible. Friend, I believe in the Holy Bible. I'm preaching about it. But don't take the Holy Ghost away from our children. They need more. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad I get to come here after camp and let out some Pentecostal steam. You can't send them home with just a devotion book and say, read this 5 minutes a day and life will be okay. Sometimes 5 minute devotion isn't enough. You've got to pray through until rivers of living water are flowing out of your innermost being. And if the book says I can claim it, then praise God, I won't let you rob it from me. Preached Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday morning we have baptism, Friday night we've had camp all week, but I heard about a youth conference in Panama City, Florida with some friends of mine that were there. Now they're kind of like us, they're kind of classical Pentecostal, suit and tie Pentecostals, but it's a youth conference. I show up, they're in suit and ties at the youth conference. They're singing old school songs at the youth conference. Probably 400 or 500 of them there. They had a prayer line that night that went until almost 11 p.m. Oh, friend, you've come too late to tell me this generation doesn't want the power of God. When you see an 11-year-old in the altar speaking in tongues, rivers of tears flowing down their face, and somebody's whispering to you, their daddy's in jail, their mama's addicted, they're being raised by a grandparent, and that 11-year-old's not asking for a phone, not asking for a tablet, not asking, are we going to McDonald's on the way home, but lost in the glory of the power of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What he said in the book that we could claim, we can still claim today. The Holy Ghost is for us. Divine healing is for us. Brother Keith already quoted it this morning, Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. Peter quoted it and put it in past tense, by his stripes we were healed. Psalm 133, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all mine iniquities, who healeth all my diseases. Jehovah Rapha, it's one of his names. I am the Lord, the God that healeth thee. It's his New Testament name. He's the great physician. It's one of the four cardinal doctrines of Christ. He is Savior, healer, spirit baptizer, soon coming king. Don't rip it out of my Bible. I want my Bible back. I want all of it. Several years ago, my sister called and told me, I've told this testimony here, but I'm going to tell it again because I like it. I was at Bible college my first year. She called in the fall semester and she said, I've got good news. We're expecting. Now, my sister's 2 years older than me, and so when I was born, she was 2 years old. That's how she got to be 2 years older than me. And they got her a baby doll so that whatever mama did with me, she wouldn't feel left out. So then she got a baby, and then she just followed mama around, and everything mama did for me, sissy did for that baby. She changed that baby's diaper. She had a little rocking chair. She was sitting by mama's rocking chair. And from 2 years old, my sister Bethany wanted to be a mother. She babysat all the cousins growing up. She'd take any babysitting job she could get. She loved babies. I didn't want to ruin it for my brother-in-law on their wedding day, but I kind of felt like telling him, you're a means to an end. She's looking forward to being a wife, but she's really looking forward to being a mama. And so when I got the call at Bible college, oh, hallelujah, there's a baby coming. There's grandchildren coming to this family. I went home for Christmas break. Christmas is boring when it's all old people. You get socks, you know, it's just nothing exciting. But we knew next year this time there's going to be a baby. And it'll be chewing on wrapping paper and rolling around in boxes and breaking ornaments. It's going to be exciting next year. I went back to Bible college and I got a call in January. And my sister was a personal trainer at the gym at a time, a Christian gym in our town. And she wasn't showing. And so the doctor said, let's just check, make sure everything's okay. You're very fit, so maybe that's the reason. And when the sonogram came back, it said the femur is not growing right, which is an indication of spina bifida, Down syndrome, or a genetic deformity. And the doctor said, I strongly encourage you and your husband to abort. Well, my sister and brother-in-law talked about it, and they aborted the doctor instead of the baby. And they said, we believe any life God gives us will be a blessing. Any life God gives us will be a blessing. And so they continue to go on. They have other tests, amniocentesis tests. They come back. They say there's only two arteries in the umbilical cord. There should be three. The baby's only getting 2/3 the oxygen and nutrition food supply. The doctor's telling my sister, your womb is a hostile environment for an unborn child. That your baby is starving and suffocating inside of you. Who tells that to a girl whose dream and whose call? I'm at Bible college sitting on the front row. I'm trying to worship the Lord. I'm trying to prepare to be a man of faith and power. And every time they're leading songs, all I can think is God. There's millions of people that have ended their pregnancies, finding a child inconvenient. My sister's dreamed of children. And a doctor said her womb is a hostile environment for an unborn child. And so I would just go to the altar and pray and cry through most of the song services at Bible college. And one night a friend of mine told me that there was a revival happening in our town at another Pentecostal church. So I went on Tuesday night. I'd never been to that church. I'd never heard that preacher preach. But he preached on the power of the word. And when he got done preaching, he said, go ahead and bring your Bible to the altar if you need something from God. Friend, when you're desperate, you don't meander, you don't saunter, you don't stroll. I beelined it to that altar. I clutched it to my chest. I held on with everything that I had. I couldn't get close enough to this holy book. And so I opened it up at random. I laid hands on the pages. I said, God, we need you. And the preacher said, if you know a verse for your situation, go ahead and quote it back to the Lord in prayer. My mind began to race. Lord, is there anything for us? Amniocentesis is not a Bible word. Down syndrome is not a Bible word. Sonogram is not a Bible word. Spina bifida is not a Bible word. Lord, is there anything in here for us? And the Holy Ghost said, look where your hand is. I looked down. I was at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I started reading at verse 1. And when I got to verse 5, it said this. Who can know the ways of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child? Even so, thou knowest not the works of God that maketh all. I wish it was your grandbaby. You'd shout a little bit better than that. Whose report will you believe? We now had a diagnosis from the Lord. Robert, that's out of context. That's Ecclesiastes 11. That's not about you. That's about this. You don't know what Solomon was writing. I felt the Holy Ghost say, it's for me, and I said, I claim it. I called my mama and my sister and my granny. I said, we got a word from the Lord. What are you shouting about? The doctor said the femur is not growing right. The femur is the largest bone in the human body. And 2,000 plus years ago, God made Solomon write a verse in there that said, baby bones, I grow those. You leave baby bone business to me. Amen. So we kept worshiping and glorifying God. And the doctor said, you're getting worse. Go on bed rest. 2 weeks after that, go on to hospital. 2 weeks after that, emergency surgery. She was born 3 months early, 2 pounds, 1 ounce. Doctor coming through the NICU day after day. You shouldn't hold out any hope. She's probably not going to make it. He's a specialist in the NICU in Orlando. This incubator over there is going off, and that family's taking home something for a funeral. This family's grieved and bereaved as one after another, but we held on to the Word of God. What are you going to hold on to, friend? Fox News? CNN? The Kardashians? The stock market? The strength of the dollar? The American flag, I'm a patriot. But friend, in heaven, when America's been gone for 1,000,000 years, there will be something that when heaven and earth passes away, the Word of God shall remain forever. We stood on the Word. He said, you build your life on anything else, it's sinking sand, but you can build it on the bedrock of the Word. And when I heard that they had to wrap that little baby up to keep it from moving, because it was in the incubator doing calisthenics, when you only weigh 2 pounds, you can't afford to lose weight. She got down to 1 pound, 14 ounces. And they said, come on, baby, get fat. And she started to grow. 3 months later, around my sister's original due date time, they discharged my first niece, Elena Renee Boy. And she's now 19. She just got back from her second mission trip, and she's playing piano at her church in Bradenton, Florida. She is a worshiping woman of God. Don't tell me it don't work. I said, don't tell me it don't work. Stand with me to your feet if you would, please. I don't know if you pray the way I pray. I come before His presence with singing. I enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I magnify Him, I love Him, I worship Him. But when I get to a certain place in prayer, I go to war. And the only thing I know to go to war with is with the Word of God. And sometimes these are some fighting words down in my soul. Hath He not said it, and shall He not do it? Hath He not spoken it, and shall He not make it good? Friend, if it's not good yet, the songwriter said, He's not done yet. You need salvation this morning? You're not right with God? You're backslidden? Is your heart cold? Come and claim the Word. You've got prodigal children? Come and claim the Word. You need deliverance in your mind or in your emotions that spiral out of control? Come and stand on the Word. You need divine healing in your body. Come and claim the Word. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come and claim the Word. But whatever you do, don't be like those in Hebrews that did not mix faith with the Word, and it did not profit them. If you think that I'm saying that to manipulate you into coming to the altar, friend, this is not manipulation. It's because I believe in this more than anything in my life. And if I wouldn't give you a strong call, I'm a poor salesman to not believe that it would work for you. If I believe this medicine would work for you, then I would be remiss not to invite you. Come with your family. Come with your spouse. Come with your children. Come. Come and stand. Come and kneel. Come all over this house. Let's believe God for revival. Don't just come out of ceremony. Come and begin to claim the Word of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, we're trusting You in these last days for an outpouring of Your Spirit. Lord, we're trusting You for the hand of God to release healing. I found out this week somebody was healed a month and a half ago at a meeting of mine. Hallelujah. God healed her. God healed her of a heart condition. Come on, press in around these altars. Mix faith with the Word. How do I do that? You do it the way a little boy and girl laid hands on a catalog. You just begin to tell the Lord, I claim Your Word. If you said God so loved the world, that means You love me. I claim it. I'm loved. I claim Your blood. I claim Your gospel. I can be saved. I can be forgiven. I can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. Let's go to war for our families. Don't be in a hurry this morning. Begin to call out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Didn't we sing it this morning? I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. Oh, let's do it right now. Spirit of the living God. You who breathed the word into existence. You who moved on the authors. Now move on us, the recipients. We claim your word. Every page is about Jesus and for us. We claim, God, healing in our mind, in our heart, in our homes, in our marriages. Restoration, God. Everything the enemy has taken, God, we believe you to restore it in Jesus' name. Because of your word, we can have the joy of the Lord. Because of your word, we can have peace that passes understanding. Because of your word, God. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't you do this? Take the hand of somebody beside you. Maybe your spouse or a sister in the Lord or a brother in the Lord. Let's go to war together just for a moment before we leave. Let's believe God together. You have no idea the circumstance the person you're standing next to is going through. Don't just be polite. Go ahead. Call on God in faith. Lord, we believe your word. We stand on the bedrock of your word. God, we ask for divine intervention. We ask you, Holy Ghost of God, perform nothing less than a miracle. You're faithful to your word. You watch over your word to perform it. You exalt it above your name. So we ask you today in Jesus' name what you've done for your children in days gone by. You who parted the Red Sea. You who slayed the giants. Oh God, you who have protected. God, do it again for us. Do it for our brothers. Do it for our sisters. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, we trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Friend, prayer is not about volume, but it is about intensity. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Give yourself permission. Father, if your children have never heard you pray, give yourself permission. Mama, give yourself permission. Elder, get some fire in your bones. And give yourself permission to call on him. Your word, God. We rest in your word. We trust in your word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me ask you something, saints. I know if we go much longer, some of y'all won't come back tonight. I'm just going to believe the word by faith that you will. Let me ask, is there anybody in here that says, I've been through a crisis before and the word worked? Anybody ever gone through something and you got a verse and you held on to one verse? You may not be able to quote it perfectly, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, but is there anybody that could say, I held on to it through that season to the point I could tell it to you right now? What is it? Anybody got a verse they could remember? Nothing is impossible, hallelujah, to those in Christ Jesus. Somebody else? Yes, he did. I heard one in the back, a brother, say something. Amen. For all things, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm feeling camp meeting right here. Come on, anybody else? Go ahead, brother. Yes. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. One more. Yes, ma'am. By the blood of the... We're made more than overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Sister Annette, I don't know if you know any shout music, but I'm feeling it in my bones right now. Hey, doesn't it work? I said, doesn't the medicine work? Come on, if it's worked for you, wave at me just one more time. Has it worked for you? Then let the testimony, we could be here all day. We could be here for a month of Sundays testifying. If it worked then, it'll work again. Come on, one more time. Lift your heart and your hand to the Lord. God, quicken the word within us. Forgive us for allowing doubt, unbelief, or any naysayer to put seeds of doubt that would rob us of the confidence of your word. We're not after celebrity ministries. We're not after the showmanship of religious ceremony. We need, oh God, we need the power that comes alone. It is the ground and pillar of the reality of our life. Raise up these young people from camp. Raise up the children of this congregation, the grandchildren, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord by the word of God. And you'll keep us by your word. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and thank him that he's going to do it. Go ahead and love him for it this morning. I know I didn't give a specific altar call for salvation, but if you're in this altar and you need to get right with God, don't be in a hurry. Talk to the Lord. Somebody will come by and pray with you if you're still kneeling here. Talk to the Lord. Let the Lord help you today. Amen. God bless you. Come ahead, Pastor.
Hallelujah. He said that was a word for the church. Not for this church, just only this church, but for the whole world. Thank God for that. I pray that you've received something here today. I pray that you'll be coming back with a testimony of what God has done for you. Because you stood on the word, you claimed the promises of God. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed and you'll come back tonight and we'll hear what God has for us tonight personally. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the Spirit of God that quickened it into the hearts of people. And I pray, God, mixed with faith, Lord, it will truly, we will see once again the goodness of God, the power of God, the love of God displayed. Thank you for these, your people, Lord. May our faith be strong and may we never doubt because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the name of Jesus, we believe it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come back tonight.